Checkity check. Check in all the mics. They are checked. They are ready. They are willing and able to receive our vocal cocks. Check.
Get
check.
Ready to
check.
Suck this podcast's dick. Am I right?
All right. Welcome to another episode of If Lands Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
And I am Hot Sauce. Hot Sauce.
Yeah.
Hot Sauce.
The hottest.
Hot Sauce.
And this is episode 122 of If Lands Could Kill. And it's just the duo today. The sauce and the knife.
And the crow should fucking be here. But this little turd sandwich just doesn't wake up. I think he had work last night till probably the early morn. But so what?
Yeah.
What's more important?
Get your priorities straight, man. I mean,
ain't got no wife yelling at him.
Yeah.
No kid.
God invented coffee for a reason.
Fucker.
And by coffee, I mean illegal substances that...
White powder.
White powder. So what's going on? Have you seen the trailer for the new Star Wars?
I have seen, yes. I saw like the teaser from months ago, and then I saw the one that came out in like middle of October.
Okay, yeah. It
came
like,
out during the football game,
like a
right?
week ago or yeah. 2 weeks ago or something.
Yes. Opinions? The internet's blowing up
right.
from the little...
The little fuzzball.
The little hamster dude.
Little hamster.
What is his name? They had his name already.
I don't
already.
Even know.
They had his name already like announced somewhere, somehow, something. And, I mean, yeah, that's already a reason to see the movie right there. But what? What do you want to say?
So
I feel like you need to speak first, and then I need to play devil's advocate.
I'm always fearful when there's a, like, main character. After episode one, let me say that. After episode one, I am now fearful of, like, completely animated characters. Because we've had our hearts wrung dry and then just filled back up with the tears of every Star Wars fan, every good Star Wars fan. So because of Jar Jar Binks, I'm just a little iffy. You know, like BB-8, whatever. You know?
BB-8, see, every episode, I feel like, every new part of the series, they have to introduce... that, like, comic relief, that kind of, like, fun part of the show. Which, for, like, Rogue One was that, whatever, fucking TST-8, fucking whatever. I don't know, whatever that goddamn Imperial robot that was converted into a Rebel pilot.
I know the fucking name, and now I
forget. I don't remember the name. It's some
K-2SO
sequence.
K-2SO?
Yeah, K-2SO sounds exactly right. So, like, that is one of those where, like, all right, we need this guy that's, like, on the side that can just kind of give the audience a little smile every once in a while. BB-8 did that, R2 did that, you know, Jar Jar Binks was attempting to do that, completely fell on his fucking ugly fish face, and, but yeah, hopefully this little guy will be a cute little dude. He'll be a little, salacious B. Crumb for the masses.
Perfect.
Because nobody understood what was going on back then.
No. But salacious was before his time.
Yeah, he was ahead of the game for sure. Yeah, he was...
He was misunderstood.
He should have been coming out now.
He was like Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
Reference I don't understand.
I barely understand it myself. Okay.
But we're going to go with that.
Yeah.
Episode title. I think that's what's there, and I'm happy for it. I'm happy for, like, seeing a noodle thing. It's not going to impact the fucking... episode whatsoever, unless he's like the one to hit the final red button at the end of the thing, you know, like go get it, fucking, we gotta get a name for him, like totally off the cuff, what's the name for that, this new little hamster dude,
fucking space hamster, I don't,
his name's Kia, after the commercials, so his name is,
oh, because of the hamster commercials.
His name's Kia.
Dude, fucking nailed it, bro. That's it, thought about this before now.
I absolutely did not. It's not even that good of a name. We're going to call him that for now, though.
All right.
He's our little Korean hamster. saves the day. Like I said, he hits that final button. Like it's going to be one of the protagonists, like, on his stomach, like, crawling his way to get to the final button while the action's going on. And then homie's going to, like, pop out of his satchel and, like, go hit the button
for him. Bounce off his head.
Yes, yes. And do a little front flip, little, like, Yoda episode fucking 3 front flip, whatever it was. You know, or is that that's 2, right?
I think it was 2.
Attack of the Clones, yeah. Right? Yeah. All right, so anyways, it does that, and then it hits the button, and then we all rejoice. And then they, for some reason, go back to Endor, and they celebrate with the same exact fucking, you know.
With the, fuck, I forget the name of the song.
Ewoks.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, but the name of the song was, I forget.
It's Jumba Jumba something. I don't fucking know. Yeah, so it's going to be that. We already, so you don't have to see the movie anymore, guys. We got it.
Nailed it.
We know it's going to be a lot of conflict, and then it's going to end up with that. So it's going to be the most adorable ending ever.
So with, if I remember correctly, with episode 7, I watched a bunch of the trailers, like almost everyone that came out. I stayed away from like all the conspiracy theories and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, because some of them are correct and they're kind of a bummer.
Right. So with this one, I just watched this trailer and obviously the teaser that came out before. And then I'm just cutting myself off.
No, this, so you bring up a good point. This is the correct move. They have a announcement trailer. They have an announcement teaser, announcement trailer, and then they have like the trailer that is associated with the movie's release. So it'll be out, you know, like a week before. There's probably gonna be one more trailer, basically what right. I'm saying. And it'll be out really close to the release of it, and it will show more plot details to bring in people that are on the fence to watching the movie to show, like, oh, this is what it's going to be about.
Right
now, we don't know what the fuck it's going to be about. We know about it's called The Last Jedi. There's, well, we, you know,
we,
whatever.
We kind of know what it's going to be about.
What's it going to be about?
Well, it's obvious that Rey's training, you know, with Luke. That's obvious.
Yeah, but what's that got to do with the plot?
And it... Okay, so this is... So there's a bunch of idiots on the internet. I know, shocker. So there's a scene in the trailer, and it's not... It's cut together in the trailer to where, like, Rey's, like, asking a question, and then, like, Kylo Ren is, like, extending his hand or whatever, like, you know...
Join
our side or something. And that's not a scene in the goddamn movie.
Right.
Because the fucking backgrounds are different.
Yes,
like,
yes,
you
yes.
notice, like... All scenes in the trailers aren't exactly taken
right.
from the movie.
So it makes it. I know what you're saying. They have different parts of the movie they can piece together to sound like it's a conversation.
Right.
When actually they're part of different conversations, but it just sounds really streamlined for that 10 seconds of the movie trailer or whatever. And it brings up questions for the audience and whatnot. But of course. You're right.
Yeah.
It's not that. And this is not the first movie to do that. This is the 1,000th movie
it's
to do that with trailers.
Common practice.
Common practice to have all these things chopped up to make it sound like it's some really question mark conversation. Like, that's going
to
happen.
And that's really a good job of the editor of the trailer to make it take different parts and kind of streamline it so it gives you kind of an idea of what the plot's going to be. You know, give or take.
Right.
And so my brother was talking to me.
My brother and me?
My brother, he was talking to me a couple nights ago about how this you know, personality on YouTube was doing, like, the live reaction or whatever. You know, those fuckheads.
Bro, especially being, like, heavily into, like, metal music and stuff like that. There's so much fluff on the internet of just, like, regular-ass people in their living room with a camera on them being like, I'm going to listen to this song for the first time and I'm going to give you my reaction. And it's like, why is this a thing?
And
you questioned before, like, opening up toys. How is that a big thing? You know,
right.
where that's, like, one of the most popular things on the internet because of kids love seeing toys being taken out of their packages.
Right.
You know, which I'm not a kid, so I can't really tell you why, but hey. But this is another one of those genres that I see. I watch, like, a music video on the YouTubes, and then I see in the, like, recommended for you, these kind of videos. And I'm like, no! These people should not have fucking patrons and, you know, all this
yeah.
shit. Like, no. This
no is monetizing just,
no
from
gives
YouTube.
No one gives a fuck about this guy's opinion. Like, how dare you?
It's like the whole thing of, you know, you're on camera. It's like a fucking... If you're in a social, like, science experiment, but you know that you're in an experiment, so you act differently in the experiment than you normally would. So, and obviously these guys...
You have to pump it up more. Yeah, you have to be more excited.
So I'm pointing... It's not like somebody else is pointing a camera at you. You're pointing a camera at your fucking self. So you know, okay, well, I really got to ham it up for this video. And at that point, it's just like, fuck you. So anyways, he was just telling me that the internet was blowing up because this guy was doing the blind reaction, whatever, to first seeing the trailer. And he's just like, oh my God, I can't believe they spoiled that scene from the movie. Like, oh my God, I can't believe she's going to go to the darks. And all these people in the comments are like, you're a fucking idiot. Those two scenes were cut together to make it seem like it's one scene, but they have obviously different backdrops, you fucking moron. And so it just...
Did you watch the video?
No, I didn't watch the
video. Okay,
okay. It was explained to me, and then I was just mad enough at having it explained to me, so I was just like, ugh. So yeah, I'm good on watching any more trailers on anything. I just want to go in... fresh as fresh I can be. I'll take a shower beforehand. Yes. And
so
we already got tickets and everything.
That, excellent. The best movie experiences I've ever had have been from me not seeing trailers at all or seeing very light. If I had seen episode one as a little chitlin, little child, if I had seen that without seeing, you know, Darth Maul and seeing his double-sided lightsaber and shit like that, I would have had a lot more... I would have a lot better experience in the theater. Even with all the bad parts happening, I would have been really pumped up seeing this new, fresh stuff. But, of course, they spoiled so much shit in those trailers. I'm hoping they just pull back a little bit. So other movies like that, like... One of my favorite movies of all time is Cabin in the Woods. Cabin in the Woods, I didn't know the fuck this... I never even heard of this movie. It was just me at home with baby girl, we're looking to see a movie, and I'm looking at like Rotten Tomatoes, I'm looking at like other sites, whatever, and just seeing like what's out, what's good, what has good ratings, you know, even though you of course, grain of salt with all that kind of shit, you right. know, it's just reviewers, the professionals out there are all pretty garbage. Much garbage, so, but this one had like a super high rating, and it was like a horror film that was also like a comedy or something like that, and I'm like, okay, and it had like a 98 out of 100, and I'm like, all right, well, I don't know what the fuck this is. So I decided, like, you know what? We should just go see it. Like, it seems like a sure thing. We should just go see it and not look at any trailers, not see the plot at all. And seeing Cabin in the Woods without ever seeing any trailers for it at all, nothing that can be spoiled, that movie was... I still think to this day is my best movie experience. And that's kind of, you know, people's opinions would be like, that movie wasn't even good or blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling you, without seeing anything about what that is and then seeing it, you know, fresh, that was... one of the best movies I've ever seen. And it gets... Movies like that are great. Like, I have other ones like... a movie called Enemy I mentioned, like, a few months ago, whatever. That movie, I had no idea what the fuck's going on. And watching it, I'm like, I'm really glad I didn't have any clue what was happening, so...
Well, like, Cabin in the Woods also hit a bunch of the right funny bones.
You've seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it. Oh, yeah, on your suggestion, I went and... I forget if I watched it with my girlfriend or not, but yeah, it just hits certain funny bones that, and it's not like one of my favorite parts in the entire fucking movie is when, you know, they're trying to escape and the rugged, handsome dude, he hops on his fucking
dirt bike
and he's like, he's got to... You know, the road's closed off, and he's got to jump this ravine to go get help. And he's like, he looks back, you know, at the girlfriend.
The music's all inspirational. Yeah, it has, like, the perfect scenario of, like, I'm going to save the day.
Yeah, he looks back at the girlfriend. He's like, don't worry, babe, you know, like, whatever. And then halfway through his jump, he just hits this invisible wall and tumbles. Or is it explodes? I forget. Explodes or tumbles down into the ravine. And it's just this perfect moment where it's like, it takes this classic movie trope of, like, everything's going to be okay, I'm going to save the day, and it just fucking stops. Yeah,
it's like the slow motion of the jump and him, like, midair, and it's like he's going to clear it, you know?
And it just hits a fucking invisible wall.
And you don't even know that. That's one of the things that's kind of a spoiler, because, like, you don't even know that wall's there.
Right.
So, like, it happens, and you're like, and all you're supposed to, that movie is supposed to do for the first half, just pose questions. Like, if you have no idea what's going on, and then the first 10 minutes, it's going back and forth between these two completely different movies, I feel like.
Right.
And you're like, what the fuck is going on right now? Why does it keep? And I love those the two guys that are in
the control room
area. Yeah. Those guys are just spot fucking on. Perfect. Like, they're funny as shit. They're just they just set the fucking tone of what one half of the movie is going to be like. It's yeah. so good. Those guys are fucking perfect. So. Yeah, that movie is one of my favorites, though.
Yeah.
And I do plan... So my birthday's coming up, which who cares, because I'm old.
Yeah.
Birthdays don't matter anymore. But I hope that you and some of our other buddies can join me at my house, and we can watch that movie and play some games. That's my birthday present to myself.
Perfect.
I'm hoping that people can join me for, like, just literally, like, Halo 5 and fucking some split screen... Not split screen, but, like, you know, we'll get, like, multiple consoles
some,
out.
Some Cuphead, maybe.
Some Cuphead. Just some bullshit, you know what I mean? And some laughs. And then I want to watch that movie. I want to see who hasn't seen that movie, and I want everyone to fucking watch it. I want, like, 8 of us to watch that shit.
I re-watched that movie probably, like, a month ago. Just because I... You know, once you watch it, you know, the... Sure, like, the novelty is worn off, because when you go into it, it's like, what the hell is going on? And so I was just, like, kind of reminiscing about it, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to fucking watch that movie again. So, it was good.
It was great.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah, I mean, you can't watch it, like, 20 times, but you can watch it, like, 3 times, for sure. Fucking great.
So what else? What else? Star Wars. Oh! Okay, so are you going to watch the next trailer?
No. I'm done. I'm
cutting yourself off? Perfect.
Same thing with you. I totally, maybe for the past 5-ish years, I've been the person to... watch announcement trailers, see that first thing. 6 months out, I want to see what's going on. But once it gets within that 2 months, like, I'm not interested, you know?
So we have some sad news. A little sad. Is that they announced the name of... So what are these, I guess, the in-between movies? Is there, like, an official name?
No, they're just Star Wars stories, right?
Yeah.
They're not, that's all they are. They are... canon, but they're just stories. They're standalone. You imagine that you're not going to see those characters again, or if you are going to see them again, it's because you've already seen them previously.
Right. So this is this is along the lines of Rogue One. So it's in between. You know, the release schedule is going to be a main Star Wars movie, and then in between the main Star Wars movies is going to be the extra, you know, special standalone movie. So. They already released that we're going to have a Han Solo movie. You know, that was already known. And then recently they released what the name of it's going to be.
I have actually not heard this yet.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry I'm the one to tell you. It's called Solo, a Star Wars story.
Yeah.
That's fucking it, man.
Bro, you know they had meetings for that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I... that's such a, like, bland, horrible name. Like, anything, the Han Solo adventure or, like, something. But, like, Solo, a Star Wars story.
Yeah, I don't like that either. Yeah, that is...
It's fucking vanilla
that's just
as
like,
shit.
You're on the streets, you get your microphone, you're like, all right, new Star Wars movie's coming out, it's gonna be Han Solo, give me some names. And then they'd be like, how about just Solo? And they're like, oh my god, that's it, we got it.
Yeah.
No, but that's not it. That's not it, guys.
Because Solo...
That's just the easiest one.
Solo means one, and
right.
then... But then if you just say Solo, that's just one word. Huh?
Easy movie trailer, that's it.
But we have to let them know it's a Star Wars story. So let's just say Solo, a Star Wars story.
Yeah.
Fucking garbage.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I'm sorry. We didn't have to wait for that. They could have told us that, like... The day they even said they're going to be a Han Solo story, they could have just said that.
They could have just never told us and just let us think it was going to be something cool, and it's not.
They should just call it a Star Wars story.
They should call it quits, dude.
Just call it quits, dude. No, the new actor for young Han Solo seems like he's a good fit, so I'm excited about that. But either way, Rogue One was, I mean, dare I say it, it was fucking amazing. So
you know what? People have a lot. I didn't know. That, like, first of all, people are just, like, lukewarm. Some people are lukewarm on A Force Awakens and Rogue One, you know? And A Force Awakens, I can kind of understand.
I can understand that, too, because of the obvious thing that the story is not original.
Yeah.
Characters are great.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
Yeah.
That first half of that movie was really good. Second half of that movie was just a rehash.
A little bit. And you know what? Fuck it. I'm okay with it. But with Rogue One, I thought that was an amazing story. And I guess there's this whole... People didn't like it because of, like, female leads or something. Like,
okay, well, that's not even a conversation to be had.
Yeah. That wasn't even, like, a thought in my head. Like, I was just enjoying a fucking Star Wars movie.
Who the fuck cares about that? What does that have to do with anything?
I have no idea. So.
Oh, my bad. There's, like, four women in the whole fucking Star Wars universe. Yeah. My God, dude.
What? There's Mon Mothma, Leia, Rey, and fucking Jyn Erso. That's it.
And then there's the... little 4 foot nothing that gave her the
but she's an alien.
But
so
she's an alien. That doesn't even count.
No,
we're really going there.
Yeah,
huh? I'm pushing buttons.
She's like way past menopause.
Yeah, you know, you're probably right.
She has more testosterone in her body now than the two of us combined.
Yes, I. You know what? That is true. That has to be true. Fucking ridiculous. Yeah. So yeah, there are like no female characters in the whole fucking thing. How is that even a fucking conversation?
I mean
I think female lead characters are at least equals, but in a lot of cases I think they're better. Like, simple as that. I like, even in my metal music, I want to see a female lead for that kind of shit. I really like seeing strong female characters. It's fucking great. I love it.
It's like when you immerse yourself into a movie or any sort of media, like, you're not really paying attention to that. And I didn't even realize it until, like, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago when, like, you know, of course it was on the internet, Twitter, I don't fucking remember, but, like, you know, people were, there was some backlash or whatever about it, and, like, you know, female Twitter personalities were, like, you know, getting upset that other people were upset. You know, whatever.
That's a bunch
it was.
Of horse shit right there.
And I was just like, I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, I didn't know people could be upset about
that. Dude, people see the world so differently than someone that's not influenced. Like, I feel like we're not influenced.
Right.
In certain ways, we weren't, like, brought up in a way that had our families saying things that would affect us in that way. Putting poison in our heads. So, like, you know, being a person that's just kind of neutral about all this stuff, I agree with you that, like, who gives a fuck? What does that even matter? That doesn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
It's not like there was anything about her character that he was even a strong female anything. There's nothing that they could have done the same thing with a male character.
Yeah.
Which is perfect. That's all it should be. Like, Laura Croft doesn't have anything to do with her fucking big titties hanging out. Like, it's just literally a story about a person, you know, going into some fucking temples and some ruins and finding some ancient shit. Like, that's it. It's nothing to do with that. I don't even know. I don't even want to be generalizing and womanizing fucking bullshit. It's just, the story has nothing to do with that. It's just cool to see a strong female lead. That's great.
I mean, but to be fair, the big titties hanging out in Lara Croft does push some units.
Well, I mean, that side boob from the Angelina Jolie one is something I will watch every year from here on out.
Yeah, you...
That's like, when she's walking away and, like, doing a little bounce and turns around, you kind of see, like, fucking third of her tit hanging out. I was like, well, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But that aside,
right,
it has nothing to do with the story.
Of course.
Who gives a shit? It could just be... it's just more interesting that's a woman, I guess.
Yeah.
Because why not?
So I'm excited. Excited for the new movie. Excited for the Solo movie, despite the name. I'm on the third book of the Han Solo trilogy.
Okay.
And so...
Is this going to affect any of the movie? Do you feel like this is going to...
I think that there's certain key plot points. Like, so once again, me and my brother love Star Wars. That's where I got my love for Star Wars. When I was a kid, my brother's 11 years older than me. So when I was a kid and he was, you know, a nerd in his 20s or early teens or late teens, we watched Star Wars, and this was before, like,
Episode 1.
This was before Episode 1, and this is before, like, wiki quotes and, like, all that stuff. And we went through and we watched it, and we, like, wrote down all the, like, notable lines so we could, like, use them later trying to like, be in context of the conversation.
Oh, that's some great kid shit
like,
right there.
Oh, yeah. It was fucking just Nerdzilla. This is before. Because now you can just go on, like, okay, Star Wars quotes, and then boom, they're all right there. So me and my brother were talking about the Han Solo story, and that they're just going to do, like, the greatest hits of his story. So it's going to be how he met Chewie, why Chewie's, you know, following him around, how he got the Millennium Falcon, how he met Lando, how he won the Millennium Falcon from Lando, and, you know, like a couple other things. But it's just going to kind of be like a overarching story. So I have a feeling if they don't break it up into multiple movies, then it's just going to kind of be like a you know, the first half of the movie is going to kind of be like, okay, this is how...
It's the setup to how we know him as today, right? The first half of the movie is going to be like, once you get to the part two of the movie, or the second half of the movie, it's going to be, okay, this is the Han Solo we all know.
Yeah, it's going to be...
First half of the movie is going to be like, this is the part that we didn't know.
Yeah, so it's going to be like him growing up as a kid, and then how he met Chewie, and then it's probably going to pick up, you know, sometime around then. So... because the books are amazing, and there's definitely different story arcs throughout the books, you know, like how he started working for Jabba the Hutt, and you know, all the there's a love story.
No, I imagine
there.
It's all the breadcrumbs left through all the movies where it was the Jabba stuff, and what's his name? Greedo? What is his name?
Greedo.
Greedo. I can't think of his name. Yeah, Greedo. Like, shit, like he's going to be in it, you know what I mean? Because there's got to be something there, too.
He's going to, like, bump his elbow walking through a bar, and he's going to be like, no, just let it go. And so
yes.
Greedo's going to walk around with a grudge now. Can't wait to disintegrate that motherfucker.
So it's going to be that. It's going to be a lot of that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see that happening. You ever read Death Troopers?
I love Death Troopers.
Death Troopers was an interesting read. It wasn't very Star Wars to me, to be honest. There wasn't a lot of Star Wars stuff in it. I mean, Han Solo and Chewie were in it.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Shit.
Oh, yeah. Don't read it. You know, it's like, it was okay. I liked it. I liked the story a lot, but it didn't feel very Star Wars to me. It just felt like sci-fi to me.
Well, I think that was the point, that it was in the Star Wars universe, but it wasn't a Star Wars story per se. It was about zombies and like this evil fucking...
It's not canon.
Apparently there's a... I don't know if it's considered a sequel or a prequel to that called like... fucking,
I have
forget,
no idea.
Red something.
I have no idea. I never heard of it. Is it another book that came out afterwards?
Yes.
Okay. No, I have no idea. I mean, it'd be worth a read. I forgot what I was going to say. God damn it. This is bad. This is so bad.
Was it Red?
Fuck!
Red Dawn? No, that's a movie.
That's a movie. That's a remake of a movie. A movie and a movie.
Oh, those are the worst. So anyways, I'm excited. And yeah, if you haven't read Death Troopers, go. If you like zombies and you like Star Wars, fucking go read that book.
Okay, so the thing I was going to say is I got as a gift that that whole Shakespearean recreation of the original books or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I got the A New Hope. And let me tell you, that shit is a great gift, and never ever buy it for yourself, because that is a you read 10 pages and you are good. You know, like, it's fun. Like, you open the book and you're like, oh, this is great. And you read that first scene and you go, okay, this is how the rest of it's going to be like. I'm actually not interested. Like, it's just novelty in its greatest form. It's not that good.
My girlfriend had got me, like, this very nice, with, like, a nice cover and... smells of rich mahogany, but it was the first three Star Wars movies in book form, or maybe it was just A New Hope. I forget. But yeah, same thing. It's like,
yes,
this is amazing. And I read like the first couple pages, and it just gave like a little bit more extra detail than the movies. Like, something about how the stormtroopers like crash down through like the ceiling instead of just busting through the door, and like little stuff
right.
like that.
I've read all three of those, the ones that are like after the movie, but they are Yeah, they change up the story a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, slightly. And I've read those. I read those in high school. And they are good. I did enjoy it. There were different entire scenes that were done differently.
Right.
You know, so that was cool.
Yeah, but I just read those first two pages. I was like, this is amazing. But I'm probably never going to read this entire book because...
Yeah.
I
do you ever look at Xbox achievements and you see what achievements have been completed by how many people, like, say, like, percentage of people that own the game.
Right.
And you get farther along to, like, the completionist stuff, and it's, like, 0.5%, whatever. And so you can see that, like, if, from all the people that own these books, you're going to have, you know, an 80 to 100% completion for chapter one, and then chapter two is going to be down to, like, 30, and then chapter three is going to be down to, like, the point something.
Yeah.
Less than a percent.
There's because only that's like how, 7 people out there who read these.
Yeah, that's how these books are going to be. So I'm really sorry for the author that spent that final act was going to be where he really shined because nobody's ever going to read that shit.
Yeah. And by the way, it's called Red Harvest. I think it goes more into the creation.
Red Harvest. Stop it. Stop it.
I think it goes more into the creation of the
See,
infection.
That's a name that I could have given in that same solo instance where it's like, all right, we got this book, and it's based on this, blah, 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 blah. What are you going to do? It's like, well, the first one was called Blue Harvest. So now I think this one, because of infection, we're going to call it Red Harvest. And then there's going to be a series of applause after me saying that.
Yeah, and then a Green Harvest. So
that's the weed book. That's the super stoner Yoda, eyes are closed the whole movie, you know.
Well, he needs it for all his ailments.
Yeah, and you know Luke wasn't doing shit as a teenager. So, you know, he was just looking at those two moons, smoking weed. That's all he was doing. He's hanging out with the wrong kind of people. I mean, how would he know, like, what places to go to that are, like, those janky, ghetto-ass places of fucking... Where were they at?
Tatooine. Hanging out with fucking Biggs Darklighter. Dude, like, just... Fucking bad influence.
You know it's because they were the drug dealers.
Yeah.
That's all that was.
Well, I mean... Fucking
Green Harvest,
the
baby.
Entire world was just...
That's like food and drugs. Like, what else can you do there, right?
I mean, I
and hunting.
Tatooine was a hut-controlled world, planet. So, I mean, you know, there's going to be all sorts of black market bad stuff going on.
You know, they
on.
Had those, like, hookahs and shit in the cantina. I mean, you know, that was not just... tobacco.
Yeah.
They didn't even have tobacco.
Yeah.
So that actually, was some crazy shit, I bet.
Where they outlawed tobacco, actually.
Oh, yeah.
They're smarter than us.
Yes, exactly. So now they were smoking all kinds of crazy shit. Shit that would, like, make you just stick to your chair.
Yeah.
And you're in that bar for fucking days. Like, and it's 24 hours. That bar is obviously 24 hours a day. You just, you know, day or night, who cares? And people would go in there and they'd smoke that fucking hookah and they'd just be planted. And had to listen to that same goddamn music over and over again. And just trip out.
Well, they were smoking spice. That's what
spice.
It was.
Was it?
Yeah. I think that's...
Tell me about it.
The spice mines. And I think that's what a lot of...
So they didn't call it reefer. They called it spice.
Yeah.
It's a good name for it. It's a good name for it.
Spice sticks? Spice? I forget.
Spice edibles.
Yeah.
That's what it was. That's what that... Remember in episode 7 where she had that that little, like, loaf that would, like, just... fucking appear out of nowhere. You know that she puts in the little sauce and then all of a sudden like this big loaf pops out? That's edibles, baby.
Boom.
That's all that is. If you have like no credits and you need to get some food, you gotta like split those credits up into like, you know, drugs and food. And so you just go ahead and get the cheapest thing you can find, which is gonna be like our version of a white cake.
Yeah.
Like a white cake edible. That's all that was.
And I mean, there wasn't a lot of moisture there, so it was probably really dry. But you know, you got to do what you got to do.
She was probably high during that entire first scene where she found BB-8, and what the fuck's his name? What's the black dude's name? I can't think of anything
Finn.
Right now. Finn. God damn, I'm so bad today.
You're horrible.
I'm so bad with my Star Wars shit today. I'm so bad. But she was probably high the whole time. That's probably what it was.
Ray, we're talking about. Okay,
we're talking about Ray. Yeah, but I know that name. Thank God.
Gotcha. Because she's the strong female lead.
Exactly. And you have to know those.
Yeah.
Or else you're looking like an idiot online.
So, moving on from Star Wars.
No. Never.
Never move on. So, what have you been up to this past week?
So, last week was an interesting... last episode was an interesting episode because I got you, motherfuckers. Got you. Got him. Because if you didn't know, I stayed in San Diego. That's really what happened, is that I was not on Skype or nothing else like that. I don't even know if you got past when you found out it was only Knife and Crow. You might have been like 3 minutes in and been like, you know what? I don't think I'm gonna listen to it. I think we're good. I think this podcast is done. Our numbers have gone down, you know, significantly. So I'm here, and I didn't have to leave. So I want to tell that little story, if I may.
Yeah, I just want to before that. So you know, we actually thought Hot Sauce was leaving. And then so when he ended up...
Hot Sauce was leaving.
Yeah. And then so when we actually, when he found out he was staying, we're like, oh, let's fuck with the audience and then just, you know, how are we going to fuck with them? And then usually we just do whatever makes us laugh the most. And what made us laugh the most was just having me and Crow do like an intro without Sauce and then just letting Sauce come in, you know, 10, 15 minutes into the episode and just never address it. But, you know, through Twitter and everything, we, we tricked you.
I gave it like 5 days. But, yeah, I sat here and I just waited for these fuckers to speak their words and then me just jab in there real quick. Oh, yeah, this is it. And I'm proud of you for getting that riddle correct in the first go around.
And so Crow bad. Fucked it up. We were supposed to just, Hot Sauce is supposed to interject and start talking and we were just supposed to never acknowledge it. And that was the funny part to us. We just never give it any acknowledgement that he's now on the podcast. And then Crow, immediately, Hot Sauce starts talking, and Crow's like, "Well, where did you come from? Oh, my goodness." And I had to do some heavy editing, but we made it work.
Some heavy petting.
Mm, indeed, indeed.
So why is this juice so dark, much darker?
It's just steeped a long time.
Is this old?
I've had it a while.
Oh, God, I'm going to try some.
It's fine.
We get high as fuck off this shit. Is this spice?
Yeah.
This fucking...
It's ground up spice.
The purple head spice? Is this is? You just fart? Yeah! So, I was planning on leaving. I think we mentioned it maybe on another cast, but I was laid off from a job that I really liked, and that was a bunch of horse doo-doo, and I was really upset about it. And so I sat at home for 2 weeks, no job, and during that time, I just played a shit ton of Destiny. That's where, like, all the Destiny talk came out, because I played 8 hours a day for, like, 2 weeks. And then on the weekend I was going to leave, I had to go into my union hall for my electrical union and say, like, hey, you know, I need to travel, so what do I need? They're, like, going to print out these forms that say, like, how many years I've been in, what qualifications I have. It's some letter that I can give to another local when I go to a different city to prove to them that I'm, you know, good to go. Prove to them that I'm certified and shows them the experience and maybe gets them a better idea of where, like, I should be going and whatnot. So I go to get that paperwork, and then while I'm there, she goes, hey, where were you today? And I go, what do you mean by that? She says, well, we had, like, 50 fucking calls for journeymen. And I go, oh, okay. Normally there's, like, 2. A day, maybe 0 a day, 3 a day. Like, it's pretty small numbers usually. And she said, yeah, we had 50. I'm like, oh my God, I had no idea. I assumed that me being out of work and my number on the list at the back of the line, that I wouldn't be able to have work for months. So when she said that, I'm like, well, shit. And so, well, we filled all those jobs, but it actually took a couple hours. It wasn't even like all 50 were there in the morning to just pick that shit up. It's like a bulletin board that you look at online, or you call ahead and you listen to the bulletin board announcement, and then you show up at 7 in the morning, and while you're there they just call off, like, all right, we have 10 calls for so and so company, who's the lowest number, they go through the numbers, whoever's lowest that's actually there present, those are the ones who get the job. So they went through that, and then they couldn't even fill all 50 spots in that opening. They had more people like getting laid off that day, showing up to the hall to sign the back of the book, and them going like, hey, do you want a job today? Because we have open calls just sitting here waiting for you. And they're like, oh, fuck yeah. So here's me, you know, idiot, didn't even look, didn't call, didn't do it. I didn't do anything because I just assumed, which I shouldn't have done, that I would be months before I had work. That's why my plan of leaving the San Francisco area to go get work, because they make a lot of money up there and have a lot of work. So anyways, I'm like, all right, cool. So what's going on? They're like, well, we have 9 calls for Monday. And if we couldn't even fill 50 today, then who are those 9 people going to be? because those people should have been here on Friday, you know? I go, oh, shit, so I guess I should just postpone me leaving to San Francisco until Tuesday and see what Monday brings. And so I go up Monday, and I'm like number four, so I get a fucking job.
Boom!
It was super... And so that morning, I need to get there by... It's actually 7:30, so I need to get there by like 7:20-ish to make sure I'm like signed in, ready to go, ready for work, you know? And I wake up at 7. And I full blow, I wake up my girlfriend, like, I don't mean to, but I'm like, holy shit! And I start grabbing like clothes, didn't even brush my teeth, like I'm just freaking out, getting dressed. She's like, what's going on? I'm like, it is fucking 7 o'clock. I need to be there by 7:20 to get a fucking job. Like, holy shit. And so she's freaking out, you know, because my money's kind of her money in the way of like the couple's thing, you know, living together thing. She's like, what happened? You know, I'm like, I don't know. The alarms didn't go off. I have no idea, you know? So I throw on clothes and I run out to my, I go out the front door and I go to my car and I'm like, no, there's no way I can get in my car and make it. There's too much traffic in San Diego. Starting at like 6:30, 7 o'clock, it's just, it's stop and go traffic in San Diego on the main freeways.
Yep.
Going the direction that everyone's going. Like, I live in a city along with Crow and Knife where we live in the city that we have to leave our city to go where work is. We live in a town that where everyone lives, but there isn't shit to do.
So like, there isn't big shit.
There isn't
do.
Big, yeah, it's just chain restaurants and garbage. Not even a movie theater here.
Yeah.
So like, everyone that lives here, you know that they work more inland or more south or more north, but they do not work more east, which we are east.
Right.
So you know that
except
that,
for me, which is amazing. Yeah,
it's amazing, right?
No traffic.
Yeah, it's amazing. You're right. That's amazing. So for the most of us, the rest of us though, yeah, we have to go this way. So I'm like, all right, what the fuck am I going to do? I'm not going to make it. So I'm like, all right, screw it. I'm just hopping on the motorcycle. And I have like this little Harley Sportster, like this little whatever. It's a Harley Davidson, bro. I'm so cool. But then I tell people, I'm like, oh, but it's a Sportster. And they're like, oh.
You mean just, the one for women?
Yes, exactly. That one. So I hop on that fucking thing. The registration's expired. Like, I'm just like, I don't care. And I hop on the freeway. I just split lanes like I've never split lanes before. I'm booking it down. I'm like, if I get an accident, so be it. That is like literally not as important as me getting a job right now. I need work more than I need to fucking be healthy, you know? Like, it's that kind of thinking. I just fucking fly. Everyone is like doing 3 miles an hour, and I'm doing like 30 or 40, just like blowing through these cars. And I get there by, yeah, 7:20, 7:25, something right around there. So I go in there. And also, I had the nervous stomach, so I had nervous shits. Waiting right away, like at the house, right when I wake up, I'm like, I gotta shit my pants. I'm gonna shit my fucking pants. So not only am I screaming down the freeway on this bike with no registration, you know, at 7 a.m. trying to fucking get to this Union Hall, I'm like, I have to shit. Like, I got bubbly diarrhea shit just waiting. It's gonna be coming out like hotter than my body temperature somehow. Like, I can just tell. And I'm racing down this thing. I make it. And once I see who's there, whatever, and it's not that big of a room of people, I just run to their bathroom and I fucking bubbling cauldron out some shit into their toilet and then come out and get a fucking job. So
nice.
It was a morning, though. It was quite the morning. But then I get the paperwork. I get to sign everything I need to sign. So I have to show up at my new employer and do their paperwork. It's just hiring paperwork like you've done at any other place.
Right.
Our listeners don't have jobs. What am I saying?
Yeah.
And but I can't show up on my bike because I don't have any like tools. I don't have like anything I need to go to work.
Yeah.
So I had to drive home and then get my car and load it up with all my shit and then go there. So I was like way late to the hiring process. So like everyone that was already at the Union Hall on time and doing their normal thing, they all got there. They're all doing the paperwork. I show up like an hour late because now I'm hitting even worse traffic going there later.
Right.
And it's up in fucking Vista, which doesn't mean anything to you listeners, but it's like 40 minutes away from my house.
Yeah.
And so now it takes me like over an hour to get there through traffic. And I show up and everyone's like done with their paperwork. And I'm like, hey guys, where's the paperwork at? Like, my bad. So luckily she didn't, the hiring lady didn't like say anything about that, but that was a nervous thing too. Like, if I get hired and I show up super late, she's gonna be like, everyone else is here, why the fuck are you not here? And but it all worked out. So anyways, new job. I'm in San Diego. I'm working at UCSD, the University of San Diego, University of California, San Diego. And University of California, San Diego is like a town on its own, if you've ever been there. It has like a huge medical center. It has like so many buildings. It's got a million fucking things going on where once you enter La Jolla in San Diego, it's just like 5 miles by 5 miles of this fucking university. It's insane how big it is. And I'm there. I'm working at like this outpatient medical center. And then while I was there working, just doing normal shit, I didn't like my job. It actually wasn't very good. That mostly like the bosses were garbage and all that shit. It was very unorganized for some reason. Even though the company is one of the biggest in San Diego, for some reason they're like in a transitioning period. And so they hired people that are just not so great. Anyways, I'm there.
Hot Sauce was telling me about like...
Oh, we're going to save it for next episode.
Oh, okay, perfect. Save away.
Next episode, when Crow is here, we're going to talk about just the backwards-ass shit that goes on with employers. It has nothing to do with my union or anything else, but the stories that I have are obviously from my union and my experiences there. Yeah, working the trades. So Crow, I met him because he was in the electrical union before, like me, and I met him on the job. That's how we know each other. So we have stories to tell in episode 123 about just how fucking backwards some people are, and it'll be fantastic. But we'll get there next week. So I'm at the job. It's not so great, whatever. But so while I'm there, I'm like, all right, I feel like this job is like a... They're just trying to do like a final push to get the job done. And when the job is done, they're going to just lay a bunch of people off. I'm not going to get hired for 2 months and just get laid off again. That sounds like fucking garbage. It sounds awful. So I went to like the big head honcho, the general foreman, the guy that he's the foreman of all the other foremen, which the foremen are the boss of me. So I went to him directly on my lunch break and I said, like, listen, Murrow, I brought my fucking dick out, my balls out, put them on his table. And I said, like, I am your man. I'm your fucking next foreman. I'm the next guy to lead the charge. I'm going to make you guys a bunch of fucking money. I'm smart and sexy and have a huge dick that you can see on your table right now.
And I read all three of the Star Wars books.
I read all the Star Wars books, dude. I said I was number 85 in the world on Guitar Hero once. I all kinds of stories just from seasons past, you know. So, and he said, sweet, that sounds good, man. Like, tell me what's going on. And did a little interview with him, just saying, like, what I've done previously and whatever. And he said, sick, man. You know, when we're looking for new guys, and we're going to maybe set you on, like, a little trial period and see what's going on. And I said, that's fucking great, dude. And so I put my dick back in my pants, went back to work. And then a week later, he said, hey, dude, we're going to send you off to another job. We're going to send you off to be the lead guy. It's going to be your foreman and you as the lead, and that's it. It's going to be you two people. And you're going to be doing this job by yourselves. It's going to like be like a 12 to 14-month job, which is really long in construction terms a lot of times. And especially for two people, usually like you get – for a job that lasts a year, it's like 20 people. But for some reason, this one is like kind of a slower burn of a job. It's like you're removing existing electrical equipment – for another contractor to install stuff, and then we put the shit back in its place. So, like, the electrical shit's in their way, and so our job is not actually necessary as far as us installing new, cool electrical stuff. It's more that they need, it's at a, like, a water chiller plant, where they, like, they literally cool down the water, drinking water in San Diego, and so they need to put new pipe in the ground, like this gigantic 20, 30-inch pipe into the fucking dirt, 7 feet down. Well, there's electrical conduit that runs, you know, on 3 feet down, yeah. You know, so we need to dig it up, remove the conduit, pull the wire out, then they can get down to their stuff, do their work, and then when they're done, then we can put our shit back. And that's how this whole job is. It's going to take a year of this. So that's pretty sick that we're doing that. And so that's where I'm at right now, is doing all that fun stuff. But I'll tell you, my fucking boss, that is just, it's just me and him, he's a fucking turd. And we're going to get to that on episode 123. But he's just a fucking turd sandwich, my brother.
At least you're on the same level now, right? You guys are equal footing?
No, we are not.
No.
No. I am not a foreman. I am still a journeyman. I just have more responsibility than normal. But no, it's still his game. And he is really making that, and like he's making that apparent. You know what I mean? I'll tell you more. It's pretty fucking rough.
Just flexing but, his dick,
dude. It's bad. It's bad. But I'm just happy to be in San Diego. I'm happy to not be living out of a fucking garage in some outskirt town of San Francisco, paying like San Francisco rent for one room starts at like $1,200 a month.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Like $1,200 a month to literally live in a fucking the office of some person that has a house out there.
Yeah, above a Taco Bell.
Dude, it's so bad. You cannot even find like $1,000 a month in your fucking dreams. In your dreams, like you're looking for a comfortable spot, you're looking at like $1,500 a month. I go, oh my god, like I got to pay my mortgage down here, and I got to pay $1,500 up there, you know, all with the same fucking paychecks. You know, like come on,
yeah,
come on. So I'm glad that I'm down here, and that's what happened. That's what happened. I'm here to stay,
and
hopefully.
At least secured for about a year.
Let's fucking cross our fingers, right? Yeah. So I wanted to say too that there's a guy that. When I had my diarrhea fest at the Union Hall, there was the journeyman, the other guy that I worked with. Me and him both had our trucks and our. He was one half of the job and I was the other half of the job. It was just split between me and him at the company I got laid off from last month, and he was there the morning of when I got hired. That those nine people, you know, the nine people that were going to get hired, he was one of the nine. And I'm like, oh, what's up, dude? That's cool. So me and him both go to this new company as equals in every way. We're both journeymen, we're both the same level. He's not a bad worker, everything's good. But he never spoke up to the general foreman. So I guess what happened? He got laid off last week. When they did the layoffs, he's one of the ones that got laid off. Not because of his skill or any of that stuff, it's because my assumption of what the job was correct, is that they hired people, a lot of people, like 20 people, to get this final push, get it all done. Everyone's working overtime, you're working Saturdays, we're just working 60 hours a week, just get it fucking done, go for it, you know? And we all did that, and then I got moved to another job because I spoke up, and he got laid off.
Bummer.
And I feel super bad for him, because he was only there for 6 weeks, and then he gets fucking laid off.
Ugh.
5 weeks, maybe, I don't know. It was shitty, dude. It was shitty for him.
Bummer.
I feel real bad. But I am... really grateful that I pulled my dick out and put it on his desk.
Sometimes you just gotta whip it out.
Yeah, sometimes that's just what gives you,
even if it's tiny, bro, you just gotta fucking whip
it out.
So
what? The confidence is what's there.
Yeah.
You know, I pulled more chicks when I had fucking braces than I ever have, dude. I swear to God. I was like 20 years old, something like that, and I'm like, you know what? My teeth are fucked up and I need to get braces. And I didn't want to do it in high school, because my confidence wasn't quite there yet, so I didn't want to have braces and no confidence.
Right.
And then once I had confidence from like my 17 to 20, I was like, oh, we're good. This is good. I'm having a lot of sex. I'm having a lot of fun. You know, everything's great. And then once I turned 20, I'm like, all right, things are slowed down a little bit. But I'm going to get my braces now. I got to pay for myself, which totally sucks, because when you're a teenager, it'd be like in your parents' fucking insurance. No, not for me. So I had to pay for that shit myself, which sucked. But while I'm doing that whole thing, is still, now I turned 21. Now I'm at the bars. Now I'm experiencing Pacific Beach, California for the first time. Ocean Beach, downtown San Diego. The whole, you know.
The scene.
The scene, brother. And yeah, definitely got some ass on that. And thinking back to it now, I'm like, how did I do that? You know, like, I had fucking braces at 21, bro. It's just terrible. But it's just that confidence, dude. It's all it is. You just got to make sure that you let them know that it doesn't matter. You let them know that, like, I don't know, man. You just let them know that
you just got to be.
You're the best.
You got to be cool with whatever you're rocking.
Right, whatever you're rocking. You know? And that's it. My little tiny dinger, dude. That's just my little dinghy. That's what I call it, dinghy. My little dinghy. It's like, you know, in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
There's that little dinghy that has the light on it, and it's just a little thing. Even when you get, like, the boat gets right up to it, you're like, oh, that thing's so tiny.
Yeah.
You know?
Look bigger from far away.
Yeah.
Now.
It's like that. And I'm like, whatever, dude. You just got to rock it. My dinghy is going to be made of carbon fiber. You know, it has the fucking biggest, flashiest light in it possible. And women are going to be like, wow, that's, you know, for, it's small, but man, it's nice. It's really, like, good job. It's a pretty cock. So, yeah. That's the work thing. And moving right along. I saw Blade Runner.
How was that?
Blade Runner was a movie with characters and a storyline and a original universe. Can you believe that?
An original universe.
Yeah. So have you ever seen Blade Runner, the first one?
Yeah. 1982? I don't remember.
So Blade Runner, I saw the first one for the first time. I believe it was the first time because I probably saw it when I was younger, but like a week before I saw the new one.
Okay.
And it was okay. Where
the original or
the original? No, the original. So it was 1982. So like the acting was kind of like, you know, 80s acting. It wasn't just sharp like it was today. And the world they created was outstanding. It kind of felt like maybe like BioShock or something like that. Definitely not underwater rapture stuff, but it had this thing where they really set up that the world is a different place than we live today. It is still, you know, Earth, but and there was still like Los Angeles and shit like that where it takes place. But it was very different. It took place in 2017 too, which is weird. It's like their depiction of 2017.
Holy crap.
Yeah, weird. So that was okay. Like the story, by the end of it, like the key parts as far as like twists in the story were fun. But as far as like the actors, we saw it was Harrison Ford was in it. Harrison Ford was great. But a lot of the other guys just weren't, they weren't up to par. And I didn't really like it. And then I saw this new one, and it, I felt like it really did it justice. I feel like it finally recognized what this world was trying to be. Of course, it was in Blade Runner 2049, so it took place in 2049. To show that Harrison Ford is still in the movie, he was older. It was a sequel, not a recreation of the movie. And it got a lot of the things that they brought up in the first one and really took it home with the second one. So it was a great movie. It's hard to recommend, though, because it's 2 hours and 45 minutes long, which is a fucking long movie.
It's rough.
Yeah, it's rough. But for me, if you're interested in that sci-fi stuff, if you watch shows like Black Mirror, if you watch Star Trek Next Generation, you're seeing like alternate, unique takes on what the future could be like, and you're interested in that kind of stuff, then this is a great movie. But if you're just a casual sci-fi person, and you're more like the Star Wars type or something like that, where it's just not quite an adaptation of Earth, and it's not quite dystopian or something like that, then it might not be your movie. And it's so long. It's a slow burn. There's a lot of dialogue rather than action. You know, there's a whole lot of one man, which is known as a Blade Runner. He is like out to find these rogue androids that have been in the universe. Like the first movie starts off, it has just like the dialogue on the black screen just saying like, this is the world that we live in. It, we invented these androids that will that are like humans but, you know, don't have any like feelings or whatever, and they are, we're using them to explore space, and if they die, so be it, you know, who cares, there's androids, but they can do all the functionality a human can, so we can still get the same results if we send our own people out there, but now we're hurting less actual, you know, warm-blooded humans.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of like the world it lives in. So the Blade Runners are people that go to seek out the rogue versions of those, because some of those people have, like, tried to make themselves more human, tried to, like, live in the world like a human and do bad things, or just generally try to, like, live on their own and be associated with the human population. And so anyways, they're out
what
there too.
What are these feelings?
Yeah,
I
exactly
am experiencing.
It's like that. It's like that. So they're trying to like make sure that they're not killing them, they are retiring them. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like the same, but they're not human, so you can't use killing because you can't kill a robot. So anyways, the new movie was great though. The movie was great. Ryan Gosling was fucking awesome. Harrison Ford is fucking awesome. It had twists and turns throughout the story. Had a really good ending. It was great. It was a great time. So
I will have to give it a download.
The thing is, you got to watch the first one, and you'll go like, "Ah, oh, this movie was like a solid, probably like a 5 out of 10 for story, and a solid like 8 out of 10 for like world building, and you wanting to like read a book afterwards about the universe." You're like, "Oh man, I'd love to read this in a book, much more than seeing this in a movie."
Nice.
That's what it totally felt like. But yeah, the new one though is pretty great. So besides that, video game stuff, I've only been playing one game, and that's Forza 7. And I you see that thing I have on Twitter?
Well, I saw the setup you have, but I've noticed you haven't been on Destiny, like, at all.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Well, you guys need to message me and be like, hey, we're getting on right now. Fucking suit up, baby.
I usually play for, like, an hour after work, and that's it. Like, I played last night, did a couple strikes, did the Crucible, did whatever the milestones, and that was
bro.
It.
Bro, you need to hit me up,
bro,
dude.
Bro.
Bro. Mercedes-Benz 600, best vehicle in all the world.
Forza, best video game ever.
Forza. So, yeah, that game is... It's not actually... It's not quite living up to the expectations I had for it, because it seems a little, like, buggy it has like odd choices where, like, say I will go to enter a race. So I'm on the menu and I click on, you know, whatever sports car showdown is like the title of this like race, and you can only choose these cars to do this race, right? So I go and click a button to get into the race, and it starts going to like a loading screen. And the loading screen has where you can still change your vehicle, and they have like playing cards now, you know, like every other fucking game in the whole world does, where it gives you like perks that you can like associate certain different kinds of playing cards with this race. So like if you get in first place, it gives you a bonus on credits, or if you only do like the cockpit view, then it gives you more credits and
right
little bonuses, right? The problem is, it's cool that it's loading while you're still do stuff. It's not just like a loading screen, so that's pretty exciting. You can't exit out or hit the back button until it's done loading. And it loads for like 20-30 seconds. It takes a long time to load for some reason, even though it's on my computer and I have a good-ass computer. It takes forever to fucking load. So I'm sitting there. I accidentally hit the wrong showdown. And now I have to just sit there and wait. And I'm like hitting B, like, oh, go back, go back, go back, go back, go back, go back, go back. I'm just trying to like get the fuck out of there to go choose a different thing, and it won't let you until it's done loading.
Mm.
It's honestly, it's taxing. It's annoying as hell.
Well, it's kind of like Destiny. You know, you choose somewhere to fly to. Oh,
yes.
And then
it's exactly like that.
Instead of just having the loading bar like every other game had, you know, they want to do animation so it makes you feel like it's not loading. And it takes you
traveling.
Yeah, you're traveling, so it takes you
a good... Well, you can't just, like, you don't have teleportation. You have to get in your vehicle and travel.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's the same thing of, fuck, I didn't mean to go there. Well, I guess I'm just going to have to wait it out.
Yes, it's that. It's definitely that. So it's annoying in that way. It's been a little buggy as far as I feel like my computer and graphics card are at a higher tier, and I'm just not quite getting the results I thought. Where it's very beautiful, but the frame rate is still not 60 frames a second.
Mm.
And I should be getting about 70 or 80 frames a second based on, like, previous racing stuff. And I feel like I'm only getting somewhere in, like, the 40 to 60 range. And you can see it a little bit on screen where it has a little bit of slowdown. Not often. Sometimes I go a whole race without seeing it, but sometimes I am at, like, the pit and you're seeing, like, your created player outside of the car, and the camera's like panning around all beautifully and showing like the scenery or whatever, and it kind of does a little laggy glitch, and I'm like, but why? Like, my, you know,
yeah.
This is more powerful than even the Xbox One X. Like, why the fuck is this having issues? So I'm having a little issues there, but I'll tell you, playing with the steering wheel and the pedals in like a proper rigid configuration where the fucking steering wheel's not moving around, and when you hit the pedal, it's not sliding across the carpet and shit like that.
Right.
It is next level. It feels game changer. Fucking so good.
Nice.
My only rebuttal to how good it feels is that when you are in a car that is the 900 horsepower, crazy, insane new supercar that, you know, goes so, you know, such and such fast and whatever else, you can't fucking drive the thing. I can't drive it, dude. Like, I turn the wheel, and if the back end of the car steps out, like, you know, drifting kind of style,
yeah.
But I don't want to drift. I'm just turning the car too aggressively, and so the back end steps out because I'm putting too much power down, and so, like, the back end is starting to lose traction. I cannot recover. It's just the same old thing where, like, once it starts sliding one way, once you try to correct yourself, all you do is spin the other way.
Yeah, you make it worse.
Yeah, so you're sliding with the back end turning to the right. Okay, so now I turn the steering wheel to the right to do what the movie Cars told me to do, which is to turn the opposite way of what you're trying to go, to countersteer. And right when I try to countersteer all it does is slingshot me back to the left, and I do a loop. And that's it. That's all I do. And so I turn on the stability control and traction control. I turn on all the assists to, like, all right, fine. I'm not good enough. Fine, I accept. I'm going to fucking turn everything on safe mode and try to get through. Nope. It's still super fucking hard with a steering wheel and pedal to get it right.
Well, isn't that more realistic, though?
It is, but, and maybe it's because it is so realistic that it makes me know that I don't know how to drive a 900 horsepower car. But also, I think that it might have to do with that your reaction with your right foot on the pedal and, like, the on and off on the power is going to be slower than with your index finger. Like, if I want to release the accelerator with my finger, it's, like, near instant. But it takes more milliseconds to get my foot off the pedal and go back on. So,
gotcha.
Also, it's kind of like, if you're tired, you're going to play like shit. In a controller, and if you're playing Destiny, you're playing a shooter, you're playing whatever game, and you're sort of tired and it's late, then like you're still gonna get by, maybe a little, you'd be a little worse, but it's fine. But with the actual steering wheel in front of you and the pedals, you're like using your body's, you're using effort.
Yeah.
And so if you are not ready for it, you are gonna like lose every race you drive, because you need to be like with a Red Bull next to you,
well rested.
You need to
eat your vegetables.
I swear to God, if it's like 9 p.m., I can't play it with a steering wheel because I can't race. I'm not, I don't have the energy to like keep my brain focused on the racing and also control my fucking right foot and hands to like do the whole steering thing. It doesn't work. It's really weird, but it doesn't work at all. I fucking suck.
In a sense, like, I like that. I mean, I'm not, you know.
I agree.
The last racing game I played was like GT fucking 3.
It was Cruising, you know? USA in the arcade.
Yeah. But I like that something is so realistic that it makes it more difficult.
It absolutely is. The only things that's not realistic is there's not, it's not a force feedback steering wheel. It has like a spring tension when you're on center. There's, you know, it's neutral. But when you turn it to the left, it has like you're tightening a spring.
Right.
So the harder you go, then it wants to slingshot back to neutral. But the pedals are just plastic and they have no feel besides just a linear rate spring. There is no like firmness in the brake pedal. There is no firmness on any of that kind of other stuff. So like there is like a little disconnect there where right. You don't quite know how deep you're braking because there is no feel there. Which in a brake pedal, you know that the harder you push, the harder, you know, the fluid resistance will compress and it gives you resistance, right? So there is none there. Which, okay, listen, I know I'm kind of splitting hairs here because like it's a fucking video game. Like, you know, what am I doing? But if I really wanted to drive that 900 horsepower car, that's kind of what I need. That's what I'm stuck on driving regular cars. Not like Camrys and shit, but like regular like WRXs and just like that 300 to 400 horse, like Mustangs, you know, like that kind of shit. Not Ferraris and not Porsches. I can't drive that shit. I suck. So I have to do that. So anyway, that's my week though. My nice. Long-winded week has been, Porsche's been sick as fuck. And I'm back to work, and I'm super glad I got to school all you motherfuckers last week on 121. And but I'm back. I'm back, baby.
Woo!
Just drinking my beers, smoking my vape. I'm back. Hey, did you know Saffron Olive vapes?
Saffron Olive.
You know, the vapes. Goldfish?
I know who Saffron Olive
yeah,
is.
Yeah, he vapes.
What a douchebag.
He's a douchebag.
What a douchebag.
I do not support him anymore.
You know what? It's funny because even though we vape, we realize that it's a very douchebaggy thing. Like it's
like liking Avenged Sevenfold. It's douchebaggy. Like driving a WRX is douchebaggy.
Yeah, I mean it took on this life of its own to where now it's just like douchebaggy.
Is wearing Converse douchebaggy yet? Is that still okay? You wearing your Chucks? Is that like you in any kind of, you see another guy with Chucks? Is he gonna say something?
No, not there yet? I think, you know, I've talked with people before about like that new versus old look of Chucks, and it's like a hipster thing where it's like, no, like beat up Chucks are like so much better than like fresh Chucks, and it's like, all right, whatever. Like, I've been wearing Chucks since I was like in third grade. I remember having like the fucking like Bugs Bunny fucking Chucks when I was a little kid. So, like, whatever, I don't care.
There's just douchey things though. There's just things that are good, and then they just become trendy and douchey, and that sucks. It's annoying.
Yeah,
like vaping.
Like vaping. So it
nobody
happens.
Likes vaping. Even vapers. They don't like vaping.
Yeah. I'm like, God, what a douchebag.
That's what I feel.
I'm like walking down the street vaping and I pass by like a storefront and I see my reflection. I'm like, what a fucking douchebag. Oh, that's me. Shit. What a handsome douchebag.
Have you ever had
though.
Someone say anything to you?
So I think I mentioned on the podcast before. I just get I get douchebags who want to talk to me about vaping. And I'm like, no. This is not an invitation for you to fucking start talking to me. I think I mentioned how one guy came up and was like, oh, hey, blah, blah, blah. What kind of juice is that? What are you working with? I'm like, I don't know, dude. This thing just, it produces vapor and I inhale it and that's that. And then he like started.
It's not a lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And then like he mentioned something like almost racist, like something like something, all these Mexicans are like, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this is not, get out of here. Go on, shoo, you know? So anyways, so my week has been just filled with Mexicans.
And vaping.
And vaping.
Mexicans vaping.
Yeah.
In front of Home Depot.
Actually, speaking about Mexicans vaping, my girl is wanting to borrow my vape a lot. Not like take it with her, but like whenever she's around, she's like, hey, give me that. I'm like, get your own fucking vape. I'll buy you one. She's like, no, it's douchey. I just want to hit yours. So like, she's doing homework and she's like, hey, leave your vape. I'm like, leave my vape. I'm going inside to play fucking Destiny. Like, I no, this is my fucking vape. No, just leave it. I'm like, what the fuck?
Are you gonna get her one?
She's gonna be like upset that I got her one,
and then she's gonna be fine with it in 3 days.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about just getting her like one of the shitty pen ones.
No, she won't like that.
I don't know.
I got some extra ones at home. I'll give you one.
I'm just going to punch her.
Just punch her, too. I got some extra shit at home, because this one's been lasting me, like, a long time, so my old shit's been, like,
nice.
Just chilling, you know? Haven't had to revert back. This one hasn't broken, so it's good.
Nice. So, my week, let me start off. I think if you've been a long-time listener, I've described the process in which how I got my three dogs. All three of them
are from your girlfriend.
Yeah, from my girlfriend. I never initially wanted any of them. You know, the first one, hey, let's just go to the Humane Society. Let's just go look. Ended up with a fucking dog. Second one, surprise phone call. Oh, I'm just going to look. Yeah, you're not looking. You're getting a dog. Third one, arguing for fucking weeks on end. Ended up flipping a coin. Got a fucking dog.
Literally flipped a coin?
Literally. I was so...
Over the life of an animal.
I never told you. Fucking, we argued because our friend was like raising fucking English bulldogs, like with papers and everything, and to sell. And then two of them were like the runts and needed to be like bottle fed, you know, like couldn't feed with the mom and it. So anyways, one of them ended up dying and we ended up getting the other one, the little runt.
Which also died.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, she's still barking at us right now as we speak.
Hey, wait. Facebook has just told me that it's my first girlfriend's birthday.
Congratulations.
Yes, good thing.
So yeah, we were arguing about getting a third dog, and I was like, there's no fucking way. And I was just, after like a month of arguing, I was just like, I'm sick of arguing. I don't want to argue about this anymore. What we're going to do is we're going to flip a coin. And if it's heads, we get the dog. If it's tails, we don't. And this is it. Like, I don't want to hear anything more about this. Like, I just wanted to stop arguing. Flipped it, heads, got the dog. Cool.
If it was tails, she would have still argued with you. it would have happened. There's no way.
I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to think about that universe, that parallel plane of existence where we're still arguing to this day.
Yes. That's true. The dog's better than arguing with her forever.
Yeah, fuck. 10-year commitment, whatever. I don't care. Just fucking stop arguing. So anyways... The reason I bring this up is because there's been a cat kind of stopping by the front yard every once in a while for the past, like, couple months. I have, like, a little white trash front yard a little bit. I got my trash cans out there. I got a old couch that needs to be taken to the dump. I got, you know, a couple other things that need to be, like, big objects.
Your lawn is looking outstanding.
Yeah, it's just the slight blades of grass that show up are just amazingly green. So anyways, this cat has been showing up. And, like, you know, when we're in here playing Magic in the garage, you know, I'll see it pop up. And I'm just like, hey, what's up, cat? You know, I don't give a shit. You know, I'm not going to be like, get out of here. And it never wants to come over and say hi, so just whatever. But we noticed, like, maybe a week ago that it was, like, super skinny, like skin and bones. Like, it hadn't been eating. So we don't think, like, it doesn't have an owner, doesn't have a collar on it or anything. So we're like, man, that fucking sucks for the trash cat. We started calling it the trash cat because it hangs out in the trash. So we're like, all right. Like, my chick's like, should we go get it food? I'm like, yeah, because I have a heart and I don't want this cat to just, like, you know, we see it, like, a week later and it's just, like, hobbling along, you know. So I'm like, all right, go get some food. But it's not coming inside. You know, we're not, like, adopting this cat. We're just gonna feed it so it doesn't die. You know what? I know that means it's gonna hang around or whatever. That's fine.
Yeah, the front yard, who cares?
Yeah, that's fine. Outdoor cat, cool. So we knock over bottles and then decide, my chick decides to get it, like, a little laser pointer and, you know, some little toys for it, whatever. And begrudgingly, I start kind of liking this cat. And this is why I don't initially entertain thoughts of getting new animals. That's why I don't want to go to the Humane Society to look at dogs. That's why I don't want to fucking go just entertain the thought. Because then I start to care, and then I want to take care of this little fucking animal. So the cat starts coming around. It starts like venturing into the garage. It starts being real cute and nice. And so it was supposed to like rain a couple days ago or like a week ago. And so I was like, well, now I care about this fucking trash cat. And so I went and got my dogs, my little fucking, one of my dogs, we got a dog house for it. And it never used it. It just tore, fucking chewed on the sides of it, then never go inside. So anyways, I got that. I put it in the front yard. So the poor trash cat can fucking go somewhere if it rains. So it just doesn't get rained on. And I even put, like, it's, the doghouse isn't super insulated, you know, so rain could probably get through the top. So I put, like, a little umbrella over it and put it in the front yard. So the poor fucking trash cat could have somewhere to stay when it was raining. So I'm, like, cleaning out the fucking doghouse. And there's, like, all these little tiny baby spiders. And this is, like, probably, like, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night I'm doing this. And all these little baby spiders. I'm, like, so I'm trying to, like, kill them all and get them away. Because, you know, the doghouse hasn't been touched in, like, fucking a year. And then I'm going to swipe them all away, and this big-ass fucking mama spider jumps out of nowhere. I yell. I'm like, oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Or, like, something like that. And then my chick's like, what? I'm like, check out this big fucking huge spider. And so there's this big fucking spider and a million of these baby spiders. So anyways, I ended up, mass...
getting the torch out and
mass
burning
genocide.
Them.
Fucking them all up.
Spray them with Windex, dude. That's it.
Yeah. I think I use some sort of cleaning product, you know.
That's all I do. I'm like, I don't know if this kills anything, but, like, it's not good to drink, which means it's probably good to kill things. I don't know. I'm just going to spray Windex or Pledge or fucking 409 all over things that I don't want to be around anymore.
Yeah. Usually just slows them down, and then I have the ability to kill them after that. So, anyways, I'm, like, fucking cleaning this thing. I go and put it... One of the legs is, like, broken, so I'm, like, trying to, like, prop it up. Anyways, the point of the story is, this is why I don't entertain these thoughts of doing fucking, you know, nice things for animals, because I end up caring, and then, like, of my own volition, I go and do this doghouse thing. Like, my chick's, like, not even, like... She didn't suggest it. She's just like, whatever. But now since I give a shit about the fucking cat, I'm like, well, I don't want to be rained on and fucking, I'll put an umbrella over it because the doghouse isn't, like, you know, waterproof or whatever. Anyways, so now we got a fucking trash cat, and we named it Dry Bones because it was, like, just skin and bones, and we name all of our animals after Mario characters. But this is definitely just going to be an outside cat. Never coming in the fucking house. You know, we let it chill in the garage with us, but that's as far as it's going to go. And plus, I think...
Does it come into the garage when you're hanging out?
Yeah, it'll come in here, and it's kind of weary of new people. But I think the cat's, like, cool with dogs, but I'm pretty sure my Rottweiler would try and kill it. So we're not going to test the fates.
Yeah, don't even experiment. Who cares?
Yeah, my chick was like, maybe we could, like, bring it inside. I'm like, no. I've seen Bowser go after cats before. He doesn't just want to play with them. He wants to eat them. So we're not going to fucking do that.
So this week on Pet Hospital.
Yeah.
No, I got something.
There's a... Oh, you got something.
I got something.
Oh, Jesus.
One of my dogs, Louie, my little white fucking terrier mutt.
Your little seal.
Stupid thing. A little seal face. Got a little seal face. He has a bladder stone, which is like a kidney stone, but it's in the bladder.
Ugh.
A big old piece of fucking calcium. Just chilling. It's causing him to pee in the house. Fantastic. Because he can't
hold it.
Yeah, he can't hold it. Like, he can't do anything. So it's been where we're home, and he peed twice in the same, like, in 2 days. He peed twice, and we're like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, not like a whole bunch, but just a little, like, little spittle, you know, yeah. Little nothing. And so we brought him in to my chick's work. She's a little vet tech lady, and you take x-rays, and okay, there's a bladder stone. Fuck, okay, what does that mean? okay, well, we switched foods to like a urinary friendly food for dogs, whatever. And hoping that would break up the thing, and then he can pee it out, whatever. And if he's in pain, whatever, just get it done with, you know. Nope. Thing got bigger. It's not going anywhere. So now it has to have surgery.
Ugh.
So dog hospital is now costing me $1,300.
Woo!
So that's what's going on with me.
That's actually cheap. I would figure it would be more. Oh, she gets discounts,
but I mean, like, she only gets, like, 20% on surgery.
Yeah.
Her x-rays are, like, super cheap. Luckily, x-rays are, like, I think they're, like, $25. They're, like, super fucking cheap.
Yeah.
You know, x-rays are, like, usually, like, $200.
Yeah.
Or $150 or something like that. So we're getting them super cheap. But, yeah, the surgery is kind of like, eh. We have to have, like, a doctor there. It's, like, a whole thing, you know, sterilized equipment.
Gotta put them under.
Yeah, all that kind of shit. So, yeah, $1,300. I have to pay out of my barely working pocket to fucking pay for this goddamn dog to get a piece of fucking rock out of his goddamn piss pocket, you know? So, sucks. I mean, I don't want him to be in pain. I don't want any of that shit. He got, like, some kind of injection. I don't know if it's, like, steroids. I have no idea. Whenever she talks about that stuff, it's like, listen, this is just a world I don't know. Like, medical shit. I don't know this shit. But he has an injection that's going to last, like, a month. So he's not peeing in the house. Everything's normal, but he'll have to get that surgery like ASAP. So this was the estimate was $1,300, but
ugh.
Yep, that's what we're doing.
Woo!
So great, cool. Thanks a lot, guys.
Fun
thanks a lot,
times.
Dog. Yeah, Walter. By the way, the other dog, he's just chilling, doing nothing's wrong with him. Never been a thing. I don't think I've ever even seen him throw up. Like, you know, pretty cool dog. You know,
pretty cheap.
Yeah, pretty cheap. Good thing it's my dog and the other one's hers. So yeah, but of course I'm paying for it. So
of course
that's how that goes.
Of course. So for a while I've been thinking about Duels of the Planeswalker 2013. And you might be saying, Knife, why?
There's 14,
why
15, and Magic Duels.
And Magic Duels, all of which have been, you know, the rug has been pulled out from underneath them. By the way, I have been accepted to...
We'll get there.
Okay, we'll get there. So anyways, that was the first time I ever played Magic, was Duels of the Planeswalker 2013. I allegedly downloaded an illegal copy of it and played it. And, you know, it obviously kind of a... older product, so
it taught you how to play, though.
It taught me how to play, but some of the spit and polish and the finer details aren't worked out, as opposed to like Duels or even 2015. So I was like, man, I just really want to go back and play that. And I remember they had Plane Chase. You could play Plane Chase on there as well. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I got a Steam gift card for my birthday. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to fucking plop down the $10, even though, you know, every once in a while they'll have a sale and it's like $2 or whatever. I'm just like, I don't care. I just want to play this game. I want something I can play at work, and not take up too much time, you know, something I can just put on pause or whatever. So downloaded it, playing it, unlocked some of the decks, and I really just want to, like, get one of the decks all nice and squared away and then play Plane Chase, because that just sounds like fun.
Is this the one that had the ramp deck?
No, this isn't the ramp.
That was 14?
That was 14, I believe.
I think so, too. That's the one that had that enchantment that had landfall, and then eventually you'd be able to, like, sack that enchantment.
It had, like, bring out two lands.
That was the one that had, like, a... some kind of like lotus on there or something like that, right? Some kind of plant on the front of it or whatever.
Yeah, it was like the Conley.
Something like that.
Conley Woods, I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah, Conley Woods.
Yeah, and then nailed you it. Just ramped into a bunch of Eldrazi and it was great. Great times. So anyways, I just been playing that. It's fun. And then I had like $40 left over on this gift card and I was like, you know, I was like, maybe I should just wait. And a bunch of the stuff on my wish list was on sale, but it's like stuff that I kind of don't even really want. You know, it's like, I think one of them is Plague Inc., mm-hmm. which is a cell phone game, but they made it for the PC. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll play it on the PC. And I'm like, I'm never going to play it on the PC. I don't even play it on my fucking phone anymore. So I was looking through some games, And Divinity Original Sin 2 has recently came out. And I remember I, once again, illegally downloaded, allegedly, the first one. And it was pretty cool. It was like a turn-based RPG, but it was also like the type of RPG where you have to like be within a certain range. You know, like it has the little hexagon pieces, and you gotta be in range, and there's action points and stuff like that, which is not necessarily my cup of tea, but at the same time I was intrigued by the game. There was a lot to it. And there was just cool stuff, like you could interact with the environment. So, you know, you could light this fucking, use your flame magic to light this oil spot on fire, which would, you know, bring the enemy's health down a little bit, you know, if they were in range and all this stuff. And, you know, I remember thinking it was okay. There was just a lot to fucking take in. And I just wasn't willing to, like, learn the game. So, read some reviews on Original Sin 2, and they all seem pretty good, and so I was like, fuck it, I'm going to buy it.
And was it $40?
It was $44, so, you know, a little extra out of the pocket.
Oh, man.
But the original one was $40, this one was $44, and the first one won all these awards, Game of the Year, blah, 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 it came out in 2014. So, but I'm just not sure if my fucking, I don't think my laptop's going to be able to handle it for sure. And even my desktop, you know, I got that thing a while ago and haven't done any upgrades to it at all. So I'm even, like, iffy on whether that's going to be able to run it, like, at optimum settings. So I looked into the Steam refund policy, and, you know, you have 2 weeks and then, like, up to 2 hours of gameplay to figure out, and then, so whatever. So if it doesn't work out, I'm just going to go get a refund and then get the original.
Right.
Because I can definitely run that one. I think the original came out in 2014. So definitely good there. So anyways, it was like 35 gigs, so I just set it to download last night. And, you know, obviously...
So later today or tomorrow, you're going to be getting on that shit.
Probably tomorrow, just because I got work right after this, so I won't be able to. But I look forward to it, and I hope it doesn't suck balls. And I'm trusting those reviews out there.
Your first mistake.
Yeah. So I will let all you guys know how it goes. Other than that, fuck, do I have anything else?
We can move on to the Magic Arena.
Yes. So Magic Arena, it's slated to come out. The beta is slated to come out.
End of November, I think.
End of November. So I got an email that said, hey, congratulations, you're part of the few thousand, which I think it's probably more than that, that got selected to help test it. And I was like, okay, cool. So the first thing that's going to happen is there's going to be a stress test. So later on, next week, I think, there's going to be a day where we're all supposed to obviously download it and log in and play.
Same time.
Yeah, same time. Same time, I don't know you. And just test the servers and see how much they can load, see how much they can take. And basically just stress test. Not anything too crazy, I think, on the gameplay.
Pre-constructed decks.
Yeah, pre-constructed decks. So we're not really going to be... it's just for stress test, not actually testing out like the mechanics of the game and this and that. And then so hopefully later on next month, they'll bring out an actual beta that I can play and then not talk about, because I signed an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, so I, you know, I can't even tell Hot Sauce about it. Wink. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say wink. Damn it. Anyways, so that should be fun. Hey, did you get your... invite?
Oh my god, Wizards doesn't like me.
Oh man,
I can't even get in the beta anymore for like original MTGO.
So they're bringing back Innistrad drafts or sealed or something for Halloween, and they actually just sent out the beta for that to help test. So did you get cool. that
no
invite?
I don't know, I don't even get anything. Oh, no man, I don't. I wish
it's unfortunate.
I've sent multiple emails, sent a lot of emails, dude. Every like 3 months, every time there's a new beta, I'm like, hey, by the way, I'm hoping on the next one, you know, you'll get me in there. And they don't give a fuck. They never respond to me ever.
fuckers.
I check my spam. I check it. I'm like, hey, maybe it's in spam. Oh, no, it's not there either.
Yeah, mine was in spam, the arena, because I saw people post it on Twitter. I'm like, fuck, did I get it? And then I looked. I'm like, no, I didn't get it. I'm like, let me check the spam. I got it.
So I did exactly that, but with very bad results. So my dick can get bigger for $39.99. I know that much.
So excited about that. Can't wait to play test that and see what the hype is all about. And I still to this day, nothing has changed my mind. And I don't think anything's going to change my mind that Arena is nothing more than just the next Duels, except it's going to be more integrated into the streamer, you know, lifestyle. And it's going to be a closer adaptation of real Magic, but it's not quite going to be real, quote unquote, Magic. And especially with the no secondary market and only being able to get your cards through fucking packs, like, people are talking about, like, oh, yeah, they're probably going to do, like, Pro Tours on there and, like, you know, PTQ.
We're going to have Modern all available.
Yeah,
on there.
It's like, oh, really? So how are you going to test when you need to just, like, and like, have you played Hearthstone? Do you know how much of a bitch it is to grind out getting,
like,
those
a real
packs?
Constructed deck?
Yeah, a real, like, tier one constructed deck. Like, oh, you haven't done that? Oh, yeah, that's right. You need to spend, like, $50-$60 and hope that you get those cards out of packs. You know, and who knows if there's going to be, like, a in Hearthstone, it's called Dust, you know, where you deconstruct cards you don't want and turn them into resources to build cards you do want, you know. So who knows if there's going to be that sort of system. Anyways, I don't think MTGO is going anywhere. I just, man, when I listen to podcasts, I hear people talk about it, and I'm not very
what?
I'm not, like, too judgmental, but when I hear people say that shit, I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. Like, how do you even think this stuff? Like, I could be totally wrong.
No, you're right. You're fine.
I could be wrong. And when I'm wrong, I'll admit it. But I don't fucking think I'm going to be fucking wrong. Like, it might... MTG Arena might be so cool that it might take away some of the audience of MTGO. But it's not going to be so significant that they're going to shut down MTGO. One of the main reasons, if I want to build a Modern deck in paper, I go to tcgplayer.com, I buy all the cards from all these secondary vendors, and I spend money that's in my bank account, and it goes to these secondary vendors. Boom. Wizards gets none of that because I'm not opening any packs. Although, on Magic Online, I want to build a Modern deck, I have to go buy tickets, fucking MTGO dollars, from Wizards of the Coast. So when I buy a deck in Modern and paper, they see none of my money. When I do that on MTGO, they see all of my money. That is such a huge fucking cash grab for them that there's no way that they're going to take that.
There's
away.
No way.
No way. 100%. I'm just going to fucking stick with it until... If it does die, I'm just going to go down with the ship. You know, I have faith in it. So, Arena, cool. Excited for it.
But it's just Duels. Better version of Duels. You know,
Duels.
It's got the full... It's got the stack, bro.
It's got the stack.
Yeah, which is important.
And, you know, there's certain things, like, I think Saffron Olive mentioned it. Like, there's an animation for when, what's that fucking red dinosaur I was just talking about before?
Yeah, the Sunburner fucking, I don't know what the hell it's called.
Yeah, one of the dinosaurs. It does 3 damage. The Sun Titan fucking dinosaur does 3 damage when it comes into play or something like that. Or am I thinking, it does 1 damage to each creature?
No, it does 3 damage to target creature and 3 damage to target opponent.
Gotcha. So I'm thinking of the other one that does 1 damage to each other creature. So when it comes in, so it does the animation for each creature it does damage to. So think about when you have 30 fucking tokens on the battlefield, 31 ones. So it's going to have to go through each individual animation. This is supposed to be a thing that's supposed to take... It's supposed to speed up matches so it's streamer-friendly.
Well,
and now running into problems
like
that.
Here's a rebuttal. That while the animation's going on, you're still able to do stuff. It doesn't stop gameplay. You're able to still click on more cards and still play stuff while animations are going on. Like Hearthstone. It doesn't stop gameplay.
Right, but if it takes, let's say each animation takes 1 second, so, and you have 30 tokens on the battlefield, that's 30 seconds. So, there's creatures, let's say, that care about other creatures dying.
Yeah, but I think you can skip all that, too, if you want to.
So it's I think that's going to be ironed out through the beta. They're going to find out that that's not going to work. But, I mean, it's just stuff like that where, like, you know, whatever. I think MTGO's where it's at, and I can't wait for this streaming-friendly Magic-like product.
So a couple things before we wrap up. They have some promos, because Crow's not here to talk about promos, so now it's me. And we have some promos for the Grand Prix for 2018 and one for the RPTQs coming up. So what is that? Regional Pro Tour qualifier.
Yes.
Stuff. So Mutavault is going to be a new promo for the Grand Prix, and Noble High Arc is going to be a promo for the RPTQs, which is pretty sweet. I mean, nice. I think the art for the Noble High Arc is kind of bad, but so what? It's a foil fucking promo for a very expensive card.
And the Mutavault's just kind of whatever.
Yeah, Mutavault, I mean, like, hey, if I played Merfolk, I'd be really stoked, you know what I mean? But I don't, so there you go.
I mean, it's
actually,
kinda,
you play 8-rack.
Yeah, it's a big modern card, but I mean, the art is just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, they're all like, whatever, you
just
know?
Whatever.
Nothing important to me, so. But there's that, and then the last thing is that, so when they have, Grand Prix and things like that. Normally, day one, there's 9 rounds.
Right.
And they had it where you had to go 7-2 to make day two. And then they changed it to 6-3 to go to day two. But now they're doing 6-2. They're doing 8 rounds for the first day of Grand Prix and stuff like that. So that's all. It's a pretty small change. But there's basically been complaints about, like, you know, what records you need to have and how many rounds you have to play. So now they're just kind of stepping it down a little bit. So now you're going to be seeing 8 rounds of Constructed or Swiss or whatever the fuck's going on the first day. And then the next day is going to be, I think, 6 rounds. And then they're going to have the top 4 instead of the top 8 or something like that. Some weird shit like that. So it's going to be a little bit, a few less matches, basically, to be played.
Gotcha.
For the Grand Prix and all that stuff. But that's pretty much, I don't really have much Magic news. Just that, so.
Good, good. So, we've been real hit and miss with recording lately, or even just meeting up. Like, life's been in full swing. It's in session. And I haven't seen Hot Sauce in, like, eons.
Yeah, probably 3 weeks.
But you have finally put together your 1DH deck, your $1 Highlander deck.
I have.
And I would like to, if you're willing, I would like to hear...
Oh, I don't have any cards in there.
I mean,
right now.
maybe not specific cards, but just, like, you have a little bit better of an idea than you did last time we spoke, correct?
Slightly. I'll go be real, real brief on it. But so Narset, the creature, the 3/2 with first strike for 6 mana. It's like 3 plus Jeskai colors. It has hexproof as well, so it's hard to kill. And when it attacks, I think you look at the top 4 cards.
Exile the top 4 cards of your library. Until end of turn, you may cast non-creature cards exiled this way without paying their mana cost.
Right. So the deck is going to be high mana cost, super inexpensive, obviously. No, like, nothing crazy. But Treasure Cruise is still there. You know, shit like that is still there. So I'm able to cast big stuff off of that. So it'll be like big pillow fort effects or big card draw effects or wraths or whatever kind of crap I can get off of it. The creatures, I can't be too specific because I don't have the cards with me right now, but I'm only playing like 3 or 4 creatures in the whole deck, and the rest of it is going to be ramp.
So it's more of a spells matter.
Yeah, it is,
deck.
But it's not going to be... It's not going to be, like, Storm
right.
or something crazy. It's going to be a little bit of Storm, though, in there because of the... If I'm able to cast 3 non-creature spells from that attack, then that third card will be, you know, Storm 3. So it won't be, like, you know, Grape Shot type, win on the spot type stuff. But there will be a few cards in there that I'm able to, like, target three different creatures based on storm or
You'll have
that.
Like big turns.
Yeah, big turns basically, but nothing, no infinite combos, nothing crazy. So there's that aspect. I'm going to be drawing a lot of cards and like cycling through my cards, you know, a lot of cantrip type stuff, and just trying to find the 20 big cards that are in the deck, and the other creatures will just be nothing but stuff to make spells recurring out of the graveyard and stuff like that. So I'm just looking to kill everyone's shit and draw a fucking ton of cards, and I'm looking to equip up Narset with equipment.
So it's going to be a little bit more on the take a note from like your Yidris deck.
It's probably more on the
Just because of like you have to make sure she gets through without being blocked.
Right. So I have a lot of that, and then so it's kind of like Voltron a little bit.
Right.
It's like Voltron with big ass spells rather than big damage.
Gotcha.
So it's gonna be big damage, but you know, like that Sunforger card or whatever it is, where you get to like you can like unequip this card to search out
for an instant
that's like mana cost 4 or less or something like that.
I think it's two.
Yeah, like two. Red and a white to unequip whatever. So shit like that is gonna be more what it is. It's gonna be more along the lines of getting in a decent amount of damage, commander damage, hopefully protecting the shit out of Narset and making it unblockable. Even just like that equipment that's like one blue, that Aqueous Form, where it's like it attacks, it's unblockable, and it scries one on attacking. Mm-hmm, like shit like that, you know, to look through to the good cards, and then hopefully when the cards exile, I hit something good and then play a bunch of shit that's like 8 mana. All those cards that are like commander ready, but are also like there's better versions of them out there that cost $20.
Right.
And the ones I'm going to be playing are like 40 cents. It's a lot of that.
Gotcha.
So we're going to get there though. We got some fun cards that are in there.
So what's the win condition, or do you
want win condition is going to be Narset commander damage is probably going to be a pretty big one. It's going to be more the spells that I'm casting with it are going to be the equipment stuff that it equips to her and stuff to take care of your creature. So it'll be like bouncing a lot of stuff, you know, maybe even like milling your guys or
so a lot of control.
Or like a lot of control in that. So I'm probably going to be getting with Narset for most of the damage. And I'm pretty much just going to keep control of the board. I think that's pretty much what it's going to be. Keep control of the board. Keep pecking it with Narset. And I do have a couple other creatures that would be okay with, you know, getting in some damage. But I think it's more just control stuff. And it might be like switching life totals and shit like that, you know, rather than me actually just beating down for 20 damage a turn or something like that. So
gotcha.
I want it to be frustrating.
Yeah.
There's going to be counter spells in it.
Of course.
You know, so I want it to be frustrating for you guys. You guys play a lot of stuff. I ruin your guys' turns. I swing in for a little bit of damage. You know, instead of refilling my hand, I literally just play spells right on the fucking get-go and just do that a whole bunch of times. So
sounds horrible.
Yeah, sounds horrible. It's going to be horrible. I hope so. I really hope so.
So I keep I make a lot of commander decks on MTGO. And I keep, like, trying to make, like, put creative restrictions on decks I make. Because after you build, like, a certain amount of decks, it's like everything starts to turn into, like, the best of the colors. You know, like, if it has blue, okay, Consecrated Sphinx, and then, what's the Mass Bounce? Fucking Overload?
Cyclonic Rift.
Cyclonic Rift and Counterspell and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it's not fun. Part of the fun for me is like building a very unique deck and just using the same fucking 20 creatures over and over again in every deck is boring. So I made a mono green deck, and I'm not sure if I talked about it. It's not super powerful. It's even like not even like a 75% deck. But it can do powerful things, and green actually is a very versatile color in Magic, because it can do a lot of different things. So obviously, ramp, that's the best thing it does. Card draw, actually has decent card draw, and it interacts with its own graveyard fantastically. With things like Eternal Witness, Where are you? The Green Warden of Murasa.
Yes.
And other such. So Seasons Past, of course, is another one. Praetor's Council. So it's just really easy to get stuff back from the graveyard. And
a lot of Eternal Witness type stuff.
Exactly. And, you know, card draw is like Harmonize, Regal Force, like Zendikar Resurgent. Whenever you cast a creature spell, draw a card. It's just super easy to bring stuff back and to draw cards. And to be able to ramp is ridiculously easy with things like... I mean, this probably shouldn't be in the deck, but I just want an excuse to play it, is the Monvoli Acid Moss fucking card where you destroy a land and then put a forest into play. And then things like Bramble Crush, you know, destroy target non-creature permanent. It's pretty fucking good. Stomp and Howl, destroy target artifact and target enchantment. And I threw Growing Rites of Iklamah in the deck just because that's super fucking cheap right now. So I just bought a shitload as a spec, and now I get to play it in a deck. So yeah.
But you're doing Boros for your actually 1DH, right?
Yeah, so this, I already talked about the Boros deck and how well it did. So this one is, you know, not as... Like, I feel like if I were to play people who weren't very experienced in Commander, I'd want to play, like, this deck.
Yeah.
You know, because... I mean, sure, it can do powerful things. You know, it has Worm Coil Engine, and I throw in, for the top end, like, some Eldrazi shit. Like, you know, I got Avenger of Zendikar, which dumps all the fucking plant tokens with Landfall. Yeah. Hornet Queen... the Palaka Worm, Artisan of Kozilek, which brings something back.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis Wave, Quarter Calling, Genesis Hydra.
Big green shit.
Yeah. Worm World.
Spire Worm.
Spine Worm.
Spire, no? Is it Spine?
It is Spine.
Ah, fuck. World Spider Worm.
And It That Betrays, Ulamog's Crusher, Eldrazi Conscription. So it does, like, big, scary shit, but it's not, like, crazy like most EDH decks. So, but the deck that I really want to talk about, because I keep playing that mono green deck, and it just gets outclassed so easy, and I always regret playing it, and then so I want, after I play that, I'm just like, fuck, I want to play something powerful. So then I go play my Queen Marchesa deck, which is, I've nicknamed it the Axis of Evil, which is amazing. And there's just so many ways to attack with this deck. So it can be very aggressive. It can have very aggressive draws with like Brimaz, Alicia, Goblin Rabblemaster, Hanweir Garrison. I even got Athreos at the 3-drop spot, so it has some of that recursion.
Yep.
You know, Signets and Talismans, Animate Dead. And this is a sweet little nugget of mwah, is Blood Chief Ascension. So if anybody doesn't know, for a single black, it's an enchantment. At the beginning of your end step, if an opponent lost 2 or more life this turn, you may put a quest counter on it. Whenever a card is put into an opponent's graveyard from anywhere, if this thing has 3 or more quest counters on it, you may have that player lose 2 life and you gain 2 life. So there's little ways to kind of, you know, not only is everyone attacking each other, you know, so it does, you get the 2 damage this way. I also have, like, Crackling Doom, Mogus, God of Slaughter, God of Crap. Unless you're trying to activate that,
yeah, just sacrifice creatures
or do 2 damage.
Yeah.
Got a lot of gods in here. Irois, God of Victory.
Need that.
Yeah.
Attacking.
Creatures you control have menace and prevent all damage that would be dealt to creatures that are attacking. You know, lot of control. Like I said, Crackling Doom. We got Anguish Unmaking. We got Wear and Tear.
Utter End.
Damnation. We got Necrotal.
This is online, right?
Yeah, this is online. I really want to build this in paper because it is really powerful and amazing. We got a bunch of board wipes with Fumigate. We got Dictate of Erebos. Merciless Eviction, which is the choose one, exile all of something, you know, artifacts, creatures, enchantment, or planeswalkers. We got Austere Command, which is the destroy all of something again. Decree of Pain and Ingrook's Wake.
Yep.
So just fucking up the board. Fucking up everybody's Christmas. And then we have kind of, I guess you could call these like taxing sort of effects. So we have Machiku Konda.
I don't know.
Truth Seeker.
I don't know. Maybe.
For 3 and a white, it's a legendary creature, human advisor. Whenever a source an opponent... it's a 2/2. Whenever a source an opponent controls deals damage to you, that player sacrifices a permanent. So kind of incentivizes not to attack. We also have Dread, which is 3 and triple black for a 6/6 with fear. Whenever a creature deals damage to you, destroy it. Whenever this thing's put in the graveyard from anywhere, shuffle it into the library. And then we have Tessa, Envoy of Ghosts, 5 white and a black for a 4/4. Vigilance, protection from creatures. Whenever a creature deals combat damage to you, destroy that creature, create a 1/1 black and white spirit creature token with flying.
Yeah, it's a dick. Wow.
So just a lot of don't attack me, bro, or I'll kill you. And if I don't have any of these creatures out, I'll probably just kill you anyways with all my board wipes.
You have No Mercy or whatever that one is?
No, I did not include that one. Because I kind of wanted it to be a little bit more interactable, you know, hitting that 75% mark. One of my favorite cards that I put in every commander deck that runs white, and I don't know why this card doesn't see more play, probably because it only sees play in commander, is Emira Shepherd? Emira? Anyways, 4/4 Angel for 5 white-white. Has flying. And it has landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you may return target non-land permanent card from your graveyard to your hand. But if that land is a plains, you may return that non-land permanent card to the battlefield instead.
I remember that one. That's from Battle for Zendikar.
That is. And also on the recursion scale, we got Sun Titan bringing stuff back. We got the Sun Titan Animate Dead combo, which is great. Also, to go along with the Monarch mechanic that Queen Marchesa has, got Palace Jailer, which comes into play, exiles a target creature until an opponent becomes the Monarch. There's some other Marchesa's Decree, another kind of thing that incentivizes people to attack. When it enters, it's a 3 and a black for an enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, you become the Monarch. Whenever a creature attacks you or a planeswalker you control, that creature's controller loses 1 life. So, not too bad. And of course, Purphoros, because. Because
of reasons.
Because of reasons. And you can't run out Purphoros too early. Because once you put Purphoros out there, everyone's like, all right, we need to kill this guy. Like,
yeah. If you're playing a 4-player game, I can see that.
Of course, I love Ogre Battle Driver, which is whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, that creature gets +2/+0 and gains haste until end of turn.
M14, baby.
And, you know, we got little stuff here and there. Cathar's Crusade. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control. Fucking pretty silly. More recursion in Karmic Guide. Has Echo, and when it enters the battlefield, return target creature from your graveyard to the battlefield. More recursion, Phyrexian Delver. Return something from the graveyard to the battlefield. Lose life equal to its cost. You want more recursion? Ravos, Soul Tender. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand. That's got to be it, right? Oh, no. We have Sherald, Whispering One. At the beginning of your upkeep, return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. At the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, that player sacrifices a creature. Holy shit. So I'm just constantly bringing stuff back. Got a lot of value stuff. Got some pet cards that I wanted to try out, like Ankle Shinker, you know?
Ankle Shinker.
Assembled Legion is great because this deck can be very controlling or it can be very aggressive. Also, Alicia brings back a lot of stuff. A lot of these things have two power. A lot of these, you know, like Karmic Guide, two power. Ankle Shanker, two power. A lot of stuff has two power. So you're able to bring it back on Ataxes.
Might be good with Dusk of Dawn. Destroy all creatures power 3 or greater, and then the second part, the aftermath is the return all creatures power 2 or less to your hand.
Sexy. I love it. Got Vedalken Orrery just to flash things in. Butcher the Horde because fucking Mardu. Got a little bit of token generation in Brimaz and Rabble Master, Handwar Garrison, Assemble the Legion, and a couple other things. So it's just super fun to play, super controlling, and you get to play with the Monarch ability. So, super excited. I've been playing that deck a lot online, and I just have a shitload of decks on here. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 EDH decks. Somebody who's following me on Twitter suggested I join their casual Discord server.
Yeah, I saw that.
For EDH, so joined up on that, haven't had a chance to talk to any of those guys or gals. So, super cool. So let's see. They are changing the treasure chests, or they changed the treasure chests. So they took out they took out all the commander stuff and all the Conspiracy 2 stuff.
Okay.
And they took all that out.
Oh, is that what you're specking on stuff, right?
Also? Yeah, I was buying up a bunch of that stuff. Some of it's already gone up. So I fucking hate the Wizards website because it's damn near impossible to find any information. But I do believe later this month, or not this month, next month, they're going to be changing the treasure chests to include the commander sets that just came out.
Okay.
So some of the dragons and all the tribal stuff. And I don't think they're going to be adding anything extra, you know, like conspiracy wise. But so if you want to get your hands on some of that new commander jank, it should be online here pretty soon.
Nice.
Just trying to find it on the website.
Fucking there. Not going to happen, bro.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Not going to work here anymore, right?
You fucking stupid.
Naga heating in a bad something like that, right?
Yeah, not gonna work here anymore. Am I right? So
Michael Bolton,
that fucking ass clown. Any other things you want to talk about?
No, I'm done. You think we can play a game of Commander real quick? One on one.
I don't know. Maybe we can try.
Let's try.
I do want to give a shout out to the Win Condition. They are a podcast, and they go whenever a new story comes out, like the lore stories, they kind of go over it and they talk about it.
Yeah, right.
So I've not been liking how, since like Origins, I feel like the writing has been kind of shit. on the Wizards website. But I still want to know what's going on. I still want to know, like, the flavor and everything. So it's a really cool thing to just listen to them talk about it so I can understand what's happening in the story. And I don't have to read the shitty way they write it. So shout out to them for doing that. And guess what? Vraska and Jace.
Babies.
They're going to make some babies.
It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. Very weird.
She's the dominant person in that relationship.
Oh, of course. Until the Guild Pact awakens within him.
Ooh.
What else? Hype Club, always good, except they're on a shitty release schedule like us to where they only come out every fucking, like, 2-3 fucking weeks. Obviously, the Command Zone for all your EDH needs. Masters of Modern. Still listening to them.
Still going, right?
Yeah, still listening to them on and off. Tryhards. Tryhards, very good. Magic with Zuby. He's still chugging along. About to hit episode 100. He's getting closer. He's getting up there.
He's got some good guests on there. He's like Jeff Hooglin and shit and all kinds of crap on there.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Good for you. You son of a bitch. And there's... Where's this fucking podcast? At Your End Step. So At Your End Step... Been around a little while. I think they just broke episode 200. And I've listened to them on and off throughout my magical career. Except one of the guys, and I won't say which one, just bothers the fuck out of me, and I hate his voice, and I want him to die. Not die,
like,
but I...
Not for real die, but
yeah,
like...
Yeah, but I want...
You want him to, like, break his vocal cords.
I want him to, like, have a nice cake that he personally baked for his wife as a surprise. And then as he's turning the... You know, his wife opens the door from work. Honey, I'm home! And then he's, like, lighting the candles really fast, and he's, like, turning the corner... And I want his stupid wiener dog to get tripped up between his legs, and I want him to hilariously fall and the cake go up in the air and then fall on him with the...
Or his wife.
Or his wife. And then, but it's vanilla cake so the dog can eat it and not die. It's not chocolate. So anyways, you know, it probably bothers me because it kind of reminds me of us in a way that, like, you know, they're, like, laughing and having a good time. And it borders on, like, inside joke and they think they're too hilarious sort of thing. And I'm like, stop laughing at your own fucking shit. It's not that funny, you know? And then there's, like, inside joke. So it's probably the reason it bothers me is because it's kind of remind me of how we got, you know, for a little while. So, you know, but I do enjoy their podcast and they do talk about some good stuff and they are kind of funny. But I hate that one guy. Just don't talk anymore, dude. Just quit magic forever. The world will be a better place. Anyways, so I think that's it for this episode of the Flans Could Kill. You can check us out in the usual places. Twitter. We are all over that shit. MTG Cast, holler, Shout Engine. We've been there since it started. We started it ourselves.
We are Shout Engine.
Yeah.
And Shout Engine is us.
And we are unofficially sponsored by MTG Familiar. If you have an Android phone, please go download that app because it is the best.
And give them money.
And give them money. Donate. It is the best. Not only is it the best Magic the Gathering app ever, but it's free. It's fucking free. It's amazing. These like Wizards of the Coast, who make this fucking game, have the Gatherer, which is the worst piece of shit. I'm a relatively smart human being. I cannot still to this day figure out how to work that thing so I can find the cards that I'm actually looking for. I can't do it. I don't know what kind of algorithm they're using or system. I can't figure it out. This is easy. You just fucking plug in the information you need, and boom, there it is. Also, we are unofficially sponsored by... What was the other? Was there another one? I think there was another
should
one.
Should there be another one? Zuby. No, I have no idea.
Was it Tapped Out? No, was it EDH Rec?
EDH Rec's a good one.
EDH Rec. I don't know if we're unofficially sponsored by them, though. I don't know about that. But definitely MTG Familiar. Check it out. And for all your EDH needs, go to EDH Rec. And when you're making your EDH deck, go to tappedout.net, and you can make your fucking deck, and it helps you figure out all your mana curve and shit stuff.
And needs. Prices. And
prices. And prices, indeed. And you can find all of our decks on Tapped Out, and the links are in the show notes. I think I already put my my 1DH deck on there, so check it out. And that's it for this episode. I'm Knife City.
It was awesome.
And we'll check you guys later. Now. Fire, fire, fire.